I want to start out before they leave out of there. I told Sarah, Sarah's been kidding around with me, and it's good to see Sarah kidding around. Because when I've seen her recently, she's had that neck brace on. She's had, after all those burns and all, and I told my wife, I said, it blesses me to see the true Sarah. So I told Sarah before I came out, I said, well, you may have the guitar in here, but we're going to do some singing out there. So I want to open with prayer, and then I want us to sing a chorus because it's got to do directly with not giving up, okay? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we give you this time. Lord, we know, and Lord, it's our desire not to hear from Tom Smalley, but to hear from you. Lord, let me be your mouthpiece to deliver the workshop of the hour. Lord, I pray that lives will be touched. First mine, Lord, because you're speaking through me. Lord, I pray that I would be the clean vessel that you desire to deliver the good news of the gospel along with testimony, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And it's a chorus that goes, this joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Once again, this joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I feel, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This Holy Ghost that I have, this Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give him to me. This Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give him to me. This Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give him to me. The world didn't give him, and the world can't take him away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And there's another chorus before you sit down. And this is another one. And this is stuff that God gave me as I came down the road this morning. You know, if we leave ourselves open, we don't have to be in a church building because we are the church. Everywhere we go and within us is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we can have church going down the road. We can have church at work. We can have church at school. We can go have church anywhere we go. A lot of people look at that scripture that says pray without ceasing and they say, how am I going to do that? I pray without ceasing. I talk to God all the time. And the thing about it, I don't talk to him so much that I don't give him an opportunity to talk back to me. See, you see this down here. This is mine and Debbie's. And Nancy gave me this sheet this morning. And the word said, my sheep know my voice. We are his sheep. And in order to not get discouraged, in order to not quit, we need to hear the voice of God. Plus, we need to take on all the weapons of warfare which he gives us. There weren't weapons of warfare that the apostles had that's not available to us today. We've got everything available to us today that they had. And God has created us to be here for the grand finale. He's created us for such a time as this. And we don't need water pistols to get out there and try to fight the devil. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, and that's what it's all about. Oftentimes, I'll just keep you up just a minute. Now, I'm standing up anyway, so y'all can stand with me just a few minutes. Because I'm going to get into this. But this is all prefacing everything else. Because Satan hates you, and he hates me. You know? And a lot of people say, well, my goodness, I'm hearing voices all the time. Well, how do you differentiate? How does it line up with the Word of God? You know, if it's God speaking, he's going to be in line with his Word. God doesn't say one thing in his Word and say something else when he verbally gives you a rhema word. He doesn't do that. Today, they prayed for me out here before everybody else got back from lunch. And I'm going to go back to that later. Let's see. I'm going to go back. It's, the Lord said, you got that for this other part down here. So I'm going to do what he says. The other one is only believe. It goes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Let's sing that one more time. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Thank you. You may be seated. See, the word says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond whatever you think or ask. God's willing to do beyond, exceedingly abundantly beyond. God never calls us to anything that he's not willing to equip us to do. I'm going to go over just a few scriptures here in Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now I tell you what, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent is a Greek word, zeo. I'd much rather follow somebody who was fervent, who was on fire, who really believe and mean what they feel inside. And the thing about it, if you got, you know, we had a prophet that said, feels like fire, shut up in my bones, and I've got to get that word out to those around me. And if you got the fire within you, it's going to make a difference to the people that are around you. You don't have to say a word. You know, when I feel the Spirit of God, and today I've really felt the presence of the Lord and his peace. Word of God says, my peace I give unto you. And from the very start in here this morning, I felt the peace of God. The peace of God that surpasseth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Christian life is not an easy life. I said earlier in the week, it's gloriously difficult. Don't get in the army of the Lord if you're not willing to be obedient to the Lord. Oftentimes at graduation time, I'll send cards out. And I've got in there Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. It's all about trust. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart, all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct thy path. Looking for direction, the world's looking for direction. The world's looking for somebody that knows the direction and has the leadership of the Lord. Just like Nancy said earlier, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the world is looking for somebody who knows who they are in Christ and that's able and willing to lead them into truth. Word of God says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from bondages. Free from addictions. It's one thing about Satan. Once we come to Jesus, once we're His, once we're secure in Him, He's going to do everything He can to discourage us. If you're going through rough times, don't ask the question, what have I done wrong? Ask the question, what have I done right? Because Satan's going to leave those people alone that aren't making a difference in the kingdom of God. If it's easy street and you're smoothly going along, then Satan, he don't want to take up his resources coming against you. But if you're trying to live for the Lord, if you're trying to trust in Him, if you're trying to obey Him, if you're trying to walk in His statutes, then Satan's going to do everything he can to discourage you. It may be a physical sickness. It may be family that hasn't come to the Lord, even though they grew up in church. We have a challenge with our daughter and our son-in-law. We've got 3 grandchildren. And we have brought our daughter up in church, but they've taken on the Jewish religion, not the Messianic, but Jewish religion. And we brought her up in church. God, even when we were in one church, God said, you need to change churches. You know, I'm not a church hopper, but when God speaks, I move. You know, and there's people around Lincoln today would say, well, they're church hoppers. They've been in this church, this church, this church, this church, this church. But I believe in being obedient to the voice of God. And I believe once He puts me in a position to stay in that position until He clearly tells me to move, to do something else. You know, my dad used to always say, he said, when you got decisions to make, let the peace of God be your umpire. Because Satan can't duplicate that peace. He can't duplicate it. And that's what I say. Pray about things in your life and then rely on the peace of God. Because God will give you peace. Peace that surpasseth understanding. It's another scripture here. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You know, too many times mankind is always looking at somebody else to see how they react, or are they going to do something to offend other human beings. But I tell you what, I'd rather offend men than to offend God. Because the thing about it is, one day everyone's going to give an account. Now, this is a loving God. God loves you. And as we do what God directs us to do, there are blessings that follow us. If Israel had done what God told them to do, Psalms is full of Israel, if you'd have done this, I would have blessed you this way. I would have blessed you that way. I would have blessed you the other way. But you were disobedient, you know? And I don't want my life to be a story later on that the Lord says, well, I had this blessing for you, and I had another blessing for you, but you didn't do what I told you to do. You know, the blessings of the Lord chase down the righteous as they walk forth in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And God desires that we be obedient. Because the thing about it, he created us. No human being created us. God created us with a purpose and a plan. You are somebody. I am somebody. And we're going to be a whole lot more fulfilled if we know his purpose and his plan for our lives than to wonder. You know, you may be people that will say, well, I just wonder what God put me on earth for. I just can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. Well, let's ask God. Let's ask him. This goes on to say here, verse 24 of Colossians, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. We've got a great inheritance here. I tell my church, now my church consists of people that are senior adults, mostly. And I tell them that the world would have them look and say, well, I'm toward the end of my life. I have nothing to look forward to. But I say, but let me tell you this. Your best days are still ahead of you. And I'm here to tell you that today, to remind you today, your best days are ahead of you. I don't care if you're 99 years old. I don't care if you're 100. We don't have nobody that old here. But the best days are still ahead. We've got something to look forward to, but we're not to live. We're not to come to Jesus and then just sit down and wait to go to heaven. That wasn't his plan for anybody. And there's no fulfillment in that. We are saved to serve. We are to allow God to pour his light and life through us. Because you don't go down the street and see Jesus. How many here have seen Jesus? You've seen him. And there are those that have seen him. But how many have naturally just saw Jesus? You see him walking on the street. I hear he's in Augusta today. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece. We are his ears. He trusted us enough to give us the gospel to proclaim. Oftentimes we don't have to say a word. People should be able to look at us and see if we have Jesus. Nancy talking about this smile, and I tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord is just radiating out in here, it's easy to smile. And they say it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. So I'm trying not to use many muscles. But you know what? When the Spirit of the living God is dwelling within the temple, you can't help but smile. Satan tries to rob our joy by bringing up troubles and tribulations and all that. But Jesus, and if we wonder, why am I going through all this? Well, Jesus is our example. Did Jesus walk Easy Street when he was here? And you know, the sad thing about it, those that were after Jesus to him all the time, scribes, Pharisees, religious folks. Now, I'm a pastor of a church, okay? But I'm here to tell you the first thing, if you go to church and you think you're going to get all of Jesus that you can get, and then you go out, if you depend on somebody else to give you all of Jesus and the Holy Spirit you can get, you're looking at the wrong place, because it is a relationship, not a religion. You fall in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you want all you can have of him. You go to the Father through him because he's our advocate. He's on the right hand of God the Father. He's sitting down Because Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. Everything. You know, a lot of times we think, well, Lord, if you just let me do this, well, what does the Word say about it? If the Word says it, you can do it. Word of God says, Jesus said in the Word, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, so go ye therefore. We've got authority in His name. There's authority in His name. And then Jesus said, it's better that I go, because then the Holy Spirit will come. You know, and then all of a sudden, with Jesus being one place on this earth, Jesus goes and He's everywhere by the Holy Spirit. So another scripture here. And this one is in Jude. And it's not but one chapter in Jude. And this is verses 20, 21, and 22. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Nancy made a statement two nights ago. And she said, I can't see anyone being priesthood if they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's three words, Sha-na-na. Sha-na-na. You know? And so here's what I did. And it's about like, and this works this way with prophecy too. Prophecy, God gives the prophet certain words. And as they share the words, this is the way it works with me. Then He gives the rest of the sentence and the rest of the information as we are obedient to share what He has given. You know? Same way with speaking in tongues. As you're obedient, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you pray if it's three words. And then as you're obedient to speak them, God will bring increase in your vocabulary. And I tell you what, it just rolls out now. Now, how is that different than our prayers? We've got our will. We've got our wants. We use our intellect to determine what we ask God for. Oh, God. And you know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, God, if you'll just take care of this problem, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Oh, I'll do it, God. Well, when we pray in tongues, we pray from here. And we pray the will of the Father, the perfect will of the Father, because the Holy Spirit is the one that is praying through us. See, too many times in our prayers, we go and click this thing on, and mine is enmity against God. We need to pray the will of God. Here's what happened today. Over here, several people praying for me. You know, they pray before the speakers come in here. And then one of them says this. Are you hurting anywhere in your body? Well, I ain't told nobody that. But I've had pain, pinched nerve in here, and just I've had pain like I don't know what. And I said, yes, I am. And they said, it's in that right shoulder and the right neck, right part of your neck. I said, that's right. And they prayed for me. And baby, I don't have any pain. They prayed for me. That was the Holy Spirit that revealed what the problem is. Now, I tell you what, if you try to minister without the fullness of God, you don't have the weapons that you need. Because Satan doesn't play fair. He's a liar. He's a thief. The truth is not in him. I want all the weapons that God is offering to me to use against him. Now, I may not understand all the weapons, but I trust God enough that what he has available for me is only for my best and for others' best interest. See, salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin. First thing that happened, Holy Spirit is drawing us to Jesus to convict us when we first receive Jesus. Okay? And we go and follow that with baptism. In the New Testament, it was several that got saved. And the apostles went and said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" It's a separate infilling. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like walking through that door. And through that door is the nine gifts of the Spirit. It opens up a new world of ministry. My daddy, what he did, he worked here in Augusta. We lived in Lincoln. We still live in Lincoln. 40-mile trip. He worked, and God would show him at work or in his transit coming to Augusta or going home what people's needs were, and then he had them go to their house. I remember my wife's mother hadn't received Jesus in her life, and one night, one evening as he was coming home, Holy Spirit spoke to my dad and said, "I want you to go and share Christ with Estelle." He calls up, "Can we come over?" I said, "What's going on?" He said, "The Lord's son led me over here. Estelle's going to receive the Lord tonight." "Okay, come on." Got there. He led her to the Lord. About a week or two later, her mom, the Lord spoke to my dad and said, "All right, now you go share Christ with her mom. Can we come over? God's ready to save grandma." Come on over. She got saved. See? My dad had a special gift where he said, he explained to me, he said, "I look and I'm like, it's like I'm looking on a projector. And I can see that person, and most times God will give me their need that they've got. Other times he won't, but the Holy Spirit will reveal the need." See, here's the thing about it. Instead of by chance going out and sharing Christ, this way the Holy Spirit is initiating the visit. God is initiating the visit. And the Holy Spirit would go ahead of my dad and prepare the person to receive the blessing. Now, you talk about it working and working together. And if we would but rely on the voice of God, rely on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it makes this thing called evangelism, it makes healing ministry, it makes deliverance ministry a whole lot simpler than going out on our own and saying, "Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this as I go out, and God bless my efforts tonight in Jesus' name." Let's let the Holy Spirit go before and lead. "Come here. This is the problem this person's having." And my dad would put it this way. He would say, "If I'm not correct on what I say, let me know." And then he'd say it. And then they, "Oh, yeah. How do you know about that?" And, you know, he says, "I want to be a part of the solution to your problem." And you wouldn't believe the people around Lincoln and around Augusta and all like that. And see, I grew up in church. I was made to go to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible study during January. Vacation Bible school, I knew I was going to have to go. That leaves room for rebellion. Okay? I went. I picked out a Sunday night when it wasn't many people there. And I went down and joined the church. And I had people coming up, "I thought you was already done joined the church. Tom, you're such a good guy. I thought you were..." But I wasn't almost saved than anything. And I kept on living just like I lived prior to that. But on August 13th, 1968, and I'm dating myself here, I was cutting our neighbor's yard. And my mama comes up across there and said, Come home, take a shower, get ready. You got a church service tonight. And we had a fellow by the name of David Parker who was there as a youth minister. And he had the meeting on that particular night in the nursery. So I stormed in, I took my shower, and I went with no intent on getting saved. And I got there, and the Holy Spirit began to open up the eyes of my understanding. I saw my lostness. I saw that having Christian parents wasn't going to get me no closer to heaven than a lost family would. Because it's a personal relationship that we have. But that night I went and the Holy Spirit revealed and I got saved. So later on, I was listening to a friend of mine, Steve Snyder. He's an evangelist, got a big church in Atlanta now. And I was listening to his tape as I was going to Boyle Brick, that's the southern part of Richmond County. I was working there at that time. And all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord came over me, and I started speaking in a language that I've heard my dad speak before, but I ain't never spoke it before. And I got there to work, and I went in my office, and I said, "Oh, my goodness, I can't stand still." And they got a road, a dirt road out there that go at the brickyard. And I went out there and started running up and down that road. The power of God was just so alive and so full within me. I was overflowing. And you know, people notice it when you're overflowing. What Satan tries to do, if you're a Christian, Satan tries to keep you so much on the things of this earth and the cares and concerns of this earth that you get so busy in that area that you're too busy to hear the voice of God and the leadership of God through His Holy Spirit. Satan will throw any kind of situation into your life, as I mentioned earlier. Any kind of situation to get us off track. And you better believe, and by you being here today, that shows you're serious about God. And I feel like we got a bunch of mature Christians, both in this room and the other room too. And I'm sure that it's been many times when you said, "I just wonder if I ought to give up." It's like swimming uphill sometimes, and Satan's throwing so many things at me. But you know what? The Christian walk is so much better than what the second best thing is. It's so much above that that we need to take the tools that God has given us to stay refreshed. You know, we need times of refreshing from the mighty presence of the Lord. And if you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that does, it edifies you personally. It builds you up. And when I started speaking in tongues and all, I felt the love of the Lord just flowing through me. And I had love for everybody that I met. We can't produce that in our natural selves. We can't do it. And really, we are triune beings. We are body, spirit, and soul. And what really matters about us, that spirit man inside, God wants to feed our spirit man inside. And as He feeds our spirit man inside, we grow. That's who we really are. The spirit person that's within us. That's who we really are. Because this flesh can't go and inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh can't go to heaven. It'd be burned up immediately. That's why that body goes to the grave. And then one day the dead in Christ shall rise first, and these bodies will be transformed from something that's corruptible to something that's incorruptible, you know? And I truly believe, you know, Paul said, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." Once that spirit leaves this body, I saw it leave my daddy's body. I saw my dad open his mouth, and the spirit went right to heaven. and so shall he ever be with the Lord. And he'll be joined up with his body later on. You know, if we go on to be with Jesus, our spirit man will go on to heaven, get our body later on. You know, he's up there with these white robed people walking the streets to go. Nancy told us the other night she didn't walk those streets to go. And it's something, I've talked to several people who've been to heaven, and every one of them says the same thing. I didn't want to come back. That's what they said. They said, the peace that's up there, oh, I long to go back. But the Lord said, and several of them said, the Lord said, you haven't fulfilled your destiny on earth yet. I've still got things for you to do. Every one of us in here right now, God still got things for us to do. We are so blessed to live in this period of time. We've got people that's passed on and they're in heaven now. They'd love to trade places with us down here for the grand finale. Believe me, the time is getting close. I don't go and say, well, the Lord's coming back such and such a date or anything, because, you know, Jesus said, no man knoweth the day or the hour, you know. But we see the season that we're in. Amen. We see the signs of the times. And I see it that God trusts us enough to put us here to fulfill his purposes and to, what we're doing is, we're preparing the way for the Lord. Amen. You know, John the Baptist went before Jesus. He prepared the way for the Lord. We're preparing the way for the Lord. I'm here to tell you that right now. And you are important to the Lord. So important. He only wants the very best for you. I can hear Satan's voice at times too. And you do too. Satan says, you're retired from your regular job. Why don't you kick your feet up and relax? You've worked hard all your life. You know, Debbie, Satan's probably said that to you too. You worked hard all your life. When other people weren't working, you were working. Why don't you just sit back and take it easy? I've heard that a lot lately. And I know it's the voice of the enemy. Because, like with Debbie, God allowed me to retire so I could get refired, and he'd give me a new assignment. See, that job that we had, that was an assignment for that period of time. But we've got a glorious assignment that we are to fulfill. And Satan, he wants you to take the shortcut and take the easy way out. That's his desire for us. But it's God's desire that we be filled and filled, and filled, and filled. I mean, don't come up to me, and I don't want to come up to somebody else and say, well, back in 1968, I got saved, and it's been glorious ever since. Or back in 1980, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tell me about what God's done for you recently. His presence is new every morning. It should be. And if anybody's moved from that wonderful, and every one of us can remember a wonderful experience we've had with the Lord. When we got saved, when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can remember that. And if it's not as glorious as that, God's not the one who moved, it's us. We need freshness. Because without the freshness, we'll give up. Believe me, we can't do it in our flesh. We weren't designed to do it in our flesh. So that testimony, if we give testimonies, that testimony needs to be fresh. I've got a testimony right now. Yesterday, I asked God. In my finances, I've learned, giving it shall be given to you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be given to your bosom. I think that's found in Matthew 6:33, I believe. But the thing about it, that's a principle of God. Just like many principles of God. And even lost people can use that principle and God's going to bless them. You know, it's going to work all the way across there. Now, I don't give in order to get, but I give knowing, I give out of obedience, knowing that I'm going to receive a return. That investment is out of this world. Got interest rates that's out of this world. Just like our retirement. I go around and I ask you, what kind of retirement plan have y'all got? Debbie and I just retired. What kind of retirement plan you got? Debbie, we've got a retirement plan that's out of this world. Can't nothing on earth match it. But the thing about it is, Satan is continuously trying to drag us down. Satan's trying to make us sin, or he puts a thought there, whether we sin or not, that's left up to us. Satan makes suggestions. See, he cometh like a roaring lion. He can come and roar, but we can resist. And the Word of God says, resist the devil, and he's got to flee from you. First thing he says there is, submit yourselves therefore unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Need a little formula to get rid of the devil? Submit yourselves to the Lord. Resist him, he's got to go. And oftentimes what he does, he makes suggestions to our mind, to our intellect. Makes those suggestions in there. And then it's left up to us if we're going to take part in that suggestion or if we're going to resist that suggestion. And by the Holy Spirit and by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we stay in the Word, like Nancy said, if we'll stay in the Word, that'll keep us away from temptation. One thing that I hadn't done and my wife hadn't done is we hadn't done this daily. We'll have certain times in our church we'll have Lord's Supper. I think I'm fixing to start doing this daily. Amen. Setting it up just like this, daily. Because if that'll keep me from temptation, if they'll take me on to where I need to be, if they'll take away from margin of error for Satan to come in, because let me tell you, Satan knows what every one of our weaknesses are. He knows how to get to us. He knows how to work us. We don't have the same weaknesses. One may have a flaring weakness in one area. I may have a flaring weakness in another. Satan knows every one of those weaknesses. And he's going to work that weakness. Look what he did to Jesus. When was the weakest time of Jesus' life? After he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan knew that. And he's going to take you at your weakest hour. He's going to take it when you've been bombarded with things, with life. And he's going to look and he's going to see your weak time. And he's going to tell you, he don't play fair. But we got to remember what his agenda is. His agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. Do I want to follow somebody who's stealing, killing, and destroying? And do I want anybody else to follow somebody like that? That's reason enough right there to live our lives before men so that they'll glorify our Father which is in heaven. To see them get saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Walking in power. Testimony. Where did I get to there? My wife is? Given. All right, given. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Because this is coming so fast, I'm having trouble keeping up with it. I'll be honest. I tell you, it energizes me. And, okay, here's what happened. What should I give, God? And I hate to give a figure because I'm not, and it may be big to some, maybe small to others. I don't know, but the Lord told me, said, give $50 tonight and give $50 tomorrow night. We have got, God led us over a one-week period earlier in the summer to invest in a rental property. Okay? We invested in that rental property. Now, I know God's ways. You walk with the Lord. You study his word. You don't have to worry about his acts. You find out about his ways, the ways of the Lord. And I know when God starts fasting. Remember the other night when, and I'm going to get to that. Remember the other night when Nancy said, she said, all right, the Holy Spirit says that he's fixing to move fast. And you and I got over there and, boy, you got to be ready. Let's be running down through that kitchen. Good catcher, by the way. But the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, I'm fixing to move fast. Well, I've seen the Lord move fast in my life. And, you know, the early bird catches the worm, you know. That's the saying there. When God starts moving fast, I've learned to keep up and pay attention to Him. So during this 1 week period, God put a desire for a rental property, for a lake house. This is in Savannah Lakes, right on the lake. And we had a desire 2 years before that. And it waned. And I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, bring it back up when you want me to do it. You know, oftentimes we hear God and He says, do this, do that, do the other. But our timing sometimes gets off. We need to have divine revelation on timing. And we got to learn how to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. We got to learn to wait on the Lord. But then when the Lord says, move, we got to move, just like your home purchase. It was time for God. God had that house for you, Evelyn, and He let you know because He knew you were seeking Him, and you wanted to do what He wanted you to do. It's the same way with our house purchase back in 1983. I went and I thought, well, I can get this house and fix it up. And I said, God, I want to send a fleece out. And I said, tell my dad to tell me how much I should give for this house. And he won't know any of this, Lord, but he listens to you. And I said, this particular house in town, Dad, how much do you think that's worth? He said, oh, around $17,000. The man was wanting $19,000. My dad said $17,000. I said, okay. And he didn't question me or anything. And I went back to the man. I said, well, let's see. Daddy said $17,000. And the man wants $19,000. And old Satan's there saying, well, you don't want to offend that man by offering him too little. Voice of Satan, you know. So I compromised. And I said, I'll give you $18,000. He said, okay, I'll take it. Here comes my dad down the next day. He said, I don't know what you've done. I ain't let him in on any of this. He said, I don't know what you've done, but the Holy Spirit wants you to make things right. You've done something, and you've got to go and undo it. Now, you talking about something that'll bust your pride in a minute? I had to call him back up. I've got to withdraw my offer. Short time after that, still looking for a house. And then the Lord made us fall in love with a house that was being sold. And they had a certain price on it. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to try this thing again. How much should I give for that house? It was $65,000. They wanted $69,500. I said, well, go, Lord, I've done learned my lesson from you. I mean, I done had to go back and withdraw an offer. I've learned, Lord, I've got a teachable spirit. Thank you for dealing with me the way you deal with me. You're gentle with me, Lord. I told him, I said, I'll give you $65,000. We got to think about it. And my mom and dad lives two houses up, and I'd be up there visiting, and I'd look at the cars going down there looking at that house. They had about 25 people that looked at the house that we're living in today. You know? And then in the end, because I said, 65, I'm not going. I couldn't give $65,000 and a penny because I was being disobedient to the Lord. I didn't learn my lesson. I'm not dumb. I'd walk the streets. I'd say, God, this isn't easy. We want that house, God. But you know what? You don't want something unless God wants it for you. You don't want it. Block all the doors. You know, I've got a way I pray now. God, just block the doors and open up the door that you want me to go through. You know, because I don't want it. My desires, if you spend enough time with the Lord, your desires become what His is. See, He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. But if you spend time with God, He'll place His desires in you, and you're thinking, wow, this is my desire. But it's really God's desire, because you're spending quality time with Him. They called me back after all that time, and they said, you can have it at that price. And I had couple after couple after couple. Those couples coming that I done saw the car down there. And they said, we would have snatched that house up in a moment, but our situation at this particular time made it so that we couldn't get it. It was the Lord. And I tell you what, when the Lord's got a will for you, he's going to make a way if we will but be patient and let him work it out. We've got to trust him enough to know that our lives are not even our own. Our lives are our own. We are bought with a price. And the price that was paid for our life was Jesus' life. He bore our sins. Every sin we commit, he bore the sins of the world. Don't you see that heavy load? You know how guilty you feel when you sin and you got to get it right? Well, just think about all the guilt that was on him, because he had our guilt and our sin, and it even affected God to the point where God turned his head on his son. My God, why have you forsaken me? The earth became dark. That was a great price that was paid for our salvation. Oh, what a price. So why can't we go and lay down our lives? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth through me. Christ in me, my what? Hope of glory. And that's the thing about the Christian church, and that's the thing about giving up today. If more people would allow Jesus Christ to transform them, then people would see Jesus in us and they would run to him. But the thing about it is, too much of us and too little of him. People love when they see Jesus on me, but the real Tom inside doesn't smile outside of Jesus. The real Tom doesn't glow outside of Jesus. I wouldn't dare get behind a pulpit without Jesus. I get up there and I say every Sunday morning, I say, Lord, this is your sermon. What do you want to tell the people today? You know, and it's not surprising when people come up and says, that's the exact need I had. That's exactly what I needed this morning. I bet they tell you that all the time, Evelyn. That's exactly what I needed this morning. How did you know? Well, the Lord told me. Lord spoke to me. And there's something else about it. You don't get the glory when that happens. I can't touch the glory, because I know it's only him that's put that word in me. I can't take no glory for this today. You know, if every one of y'all patted me on the back, oh, that was so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. I say, God, that's so wonderful, thank you. I leave the pulpit and I say, thank you, God. Because I don't have anything to say outside of you. I'd be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, you know. But God knows what every one of you need. God knows exactly where you are in your life. You know, he knows that. You got to tell me it's time's up, right? Come with it. This is the real Tom. This is the real Tom. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. The real Tom. The fake Tom is the one that walks in the flesh. You're right. You're right. The real Tom does. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. And I welcome my congregation to correct me if I get a scripture wrong or something like that, because I want it made right. You're right. The real Tom does. The real Tom does. The real you does. And really, you're out of script with anything less than that as born-again Christians filled with the Spirit of God. I'm supposed to finish up something I said a while ago. Okay. I didn't have even made out the $50 check yet. Get a phone call. We got somebody needs to rent that. $125 a night, four nights, $500 next week. And I said, okay, it's available. And I said, God, it's got to be a lesson in this some kind of way. You know how the Holy Spirit will spur you, kind of dig in a little bit deeper? And the Lord said, okay, you're being obedient even though you hadn't written that check out yet. I saw what you were going to do, and you're going to be obedient to what I told you to give. That's 10% you gave in advance of the $500 that I'm blessing you with. So, see, tonight, 50 more. And my wife said, all right, I guess God's going to give us four more nights at that, too. Amen. And I expected. Because, you know, we sang a little bit earlier, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. The sky's not even the limit, gang. The sky's not even the limit. The Bible says, Matthew 18:19, whatsoever things we bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. Whatsoever things we loose on earth shall be loose where? We have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the secret to it. In Jesus. Evelyn got out of here before I could say this other one. Yes. Yes.
I hear a voice of one crying. There's a song, you know, I hear the voice of one crying. Prepare ye the way
of the Lord.
Well, then I hear that while you preach this.
Yeah.
Let me read that to you.
Read it.
I hear this. I share this with your wife here. I hear this. And it comes up right here. It says the lyrics to the voice of one crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. War cry lyrics. This is what it's called, the war cry. What's this conference? War cry.
War cry. That's
this
right.
Well, I got to give this to Nancy too. I mean, this
yeah.
is, this was God.
Isn't that great?
It is.
And God knows all, and I can't take any credit for it.
That's right.
Because all I've done is spoke what I've heard.
Spoke what he told me to speak.
What he told me to speak. What I've heard, so it's directly from him through
Amen.
Me. I just praise him. You know, you never cease to be amazed when you surrender your tongue and your will to God. Yes, ma'am.
When you said the best shepherd, I felt the Lord said, whether you go or whether you stay.
That's right.
It's still the best.
Still the best. It's still the best. That's right.
And the
That's right.
Also told me that when you said you're going to give another 50 tonight, you said you'd expected another 500. Who's to say that it's going to be 500?
I know.
Be 5,
I know it.
It might be 50,000.
I know it.
No,
there's
no limit.
That's no limit with God. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got unlimited resources. Here on earth, we've got limits. God has no limits.
Okay. So as you were saying that, I had to keep writing. Lord, Linda hears your voice. You know her and she follows you, so that I wouldn't be tempted to write that check, because, you know, you're talking about $500 blessing, $50,000 blessing.
Yeah.
And I have to be obedient to the voice.
That's right.
Lord.
And
it's
individual.
Yeah.
One size doesn't fit all. And like I say, God's got his timing. And over your lifetime, if he tarries, it's no telling what he's going to lead you to give. But right now, he's got you going through a time of preparation, a time of study. And you know, giving is not just money. You know, we get caught up with money. Giving is praying, Bible study, sharing, you know. Servants of the Lord, whatever the Lord tells us to do.
And you know, Tom, I would rather have a prayer from somebody who is so in love with the Lord than I have you to give them $10. Because those prayers reach God.
That's right.
And he answers them. So you seek out and you do what you feel like. Because I've been in meetings and it would get time for the offering, and the Lord just speak to me and say, no,
And you got a certain amount of money there. He's got certain ministries that he has us feed into. And just because it's us, it's not the same blueprint for you. Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. God puts his desire and says, yes, sir.
I want to speak up for Laura. She was talking about money, and you said there's other concerns. Someone said there's
other
things you can give besides money.
Yeah.
She is one of my personal intercessors since I got diagnosed with cancer. And she'll call. Speak to life through me.
Yes.
That's with all of my money.
That's right.
And I mean, you can see all over her. God is all over her.
When she said the other night she prayed in tongues for an hour, I said, wow, this is somebody I want to pray for me. I want you to put me on your prayer list. And look here, look at the blessing you are right here. You know, there's things that money can't buy. There are things that money cannot buy. And I hate using an amount, and I asked the Lord about it when he told me about this, and he said, you know, it's all his. I'm his. Everything that I own is his. I'm just using it for a season. And I tell you, when you realize that, and you start realizing that in your life, that it's all his anyway, and we're all his anyway, we're just keepers for a season of what he's blessed us with. I got my feelings hurt a little bit one time when somebody came in, Renee Smith came in and said, look, after we got that house, look what the Lord has blessed you with. And I thought, I've worked hard for this. We worked hard for this place. And then, you know, God didn't just come here and hand this out to us. We put effort in too, but God convicted me of that. And he said, unless I'd given you your health, unless I'd opened up these opportunities for you to make this money, you'd never have this house. And I had to repent before the God. I had to repent before him. Because it's his now. Whatever assets that we have, they're all God's. They're not mine. So what I try to do is get direction from him how to use the assets that he's placed in my life for his glory. Not for mine, but for him. You know? And it's a blessing when you do that, because otherwise, here's the mindset of the world. The mindset of the world is, I get this, I want more. And the world never gets satisfied. It's just like in addictions. You never get satisfied in addictions. You want more and more. You go deeper and deeper and deeper. And things of this world and things of this flesh is the same way. You get satisfied for a season, then you want more. And what it is really the God hole in here in people, that they need the Lord. And they're trying to fill that hole with everything else physical. And they don't know who they really need. I can't do without the Lord. I can't do without the Lord. If I feel like, you know, there are days that go by, I pray and I feel like they hit the ceiling and come down. And I said, Lord, I can't think. I've become so dependent on you, I can't function without you. I need your direction. Because, you know, really deep down inside, yeah, I don't need to confess, because without your mouth comes blessings and curses. But I feel dumb without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I really do. That's the best way I know how to put it. I feel dumb. I wouldn't dare get up and speak before you without his leadership. I am absolutely dependent on him. I'm dependent on him like I am for my wife. I came down here, and unless she's with me, I'm going to get things all twisted up. I went in this road and turned right on the dirt road. And then after about 3 or 4 miles, I said, I don't remember going this far coming in here, and turned myself around. So I done made sure she's been around since then. And, if we're in separate cars, I say, let me follow you. You know, and Jesus is a great person to follow. And he will lead you from glory to glory to glory.
You know, someone said something about his bowl, 100 bowl.
Yeah.
I've seen a demonstration on that. That was really, they said to take a piece of paper and fold it. There's one fold. Now, if that was a $10 bill, now you've got $20.
Mm-hmm.
You fold it a second time. Now, this right here is just 2 folds.
Yep.
Now you've got 40. 20, 40, 60, 80.
Or a $20 bill. 40, yeah.
Fold it again, that's 3 folds.
Yep.
Each time it keeps double itself, and when it gets to the 10-fold, right off the head, I don't know the number. Right,
yeah, yeah, I don't either. I didn't follow it that far.
That's what 10-fold is. If you take 10 bucks and make it 10-fold, amen.
Yep, amen. And remember, you can't outgive God.
That's right.
You can't. The church today is trying to follow a list of do's and don'ts, and it's called religion. It's drying up. People are getting discouraged. People are quitting. But the ones that are vibrant and alive, as this scripture says right here, are the ones that rely on the Lord. He is their church. Now, I'm not saying you don't gather, because the Bible says don't keep from assembling yourselves together, you know, for the fellowship of the believers. But the thing about it, that's not your main source. Our source is fellowship with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got direct access, not just pastors. I'm not saying we shouldn't, because the pastors are a covering, okay? But don't go to the Pope or to the pastor to find daily relationship with the Lord. You've got access. You can go boldly to the Lord at your time of need to find help. His veil was ripped apart, and we've got access. In Jesus' name. That's all that he's given me. Anybody got anything you want to add? I feel like I've been obedient. I feel like I've shared what I should share. And my wife has helped me when I was going to skip an area or two. Thank you. And Tim's been left out of here, but Tim got me straight on that other, and he's right. He's exactly right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that you're the source of all understanding. Lord, I pray that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Lord, I pray that each word that has flowed through here may fall on fertile soil, Lord, and that it will be watered, Lord. And Lord, by it, Lord, that each one of us, including I, will have a teachable spirit to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each one of us individually and as a group in this time in which you've placed us to live. We thank you in advance, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for guiding us, directing us, infilling us, teaching us, making us more like you as we turn over the lordship of our life more and more to you. Bless everyone that's here in these meetings. Bless Nancy. Bless the team, Lord. Bless the speakers, Lord. We thank you. We feel that we've been through a little bit of heaven right here on this earth, God. And we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name. I guess we'll sit here for a while. If nobody's got anything to add, because we're going to have impartation next.
Sing another song?
Yeah, we can. What do you want to sing? I know from Tacoma Falls College. That's the, but what I do have, I give unto you. Take.
So we're going to have what he has.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You're exactly right. And that the person who couldn't walk from birth, he was so glad he received what he received.
Oh, yeah.
That one goes, I know from Tacoma Falls Bible College Choir, you know, it says, prepare the way of the Lord, clear a straight path for him, clear a straight path for him, prepare the way for the Lord, clear a straight path for him, clear a straight path for him, prepare the way. I think that may be in the Messiah. I think we sang that. It goes, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. For he cometh, he cometh, he cometh. Prepare the way. I remember that from 73. Come on.
I hear the voice of one crying, prepare the way of the Lord. I hear the voice
of one crying. I hear the voice of one crying. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
And then it goes into another verse, and I forget what it goes into. It's
powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.